Thank you so much for having me today. I'll be talking about the racial disparities in prostate cancer mortality across the 50 largest U.S. cities. I have no relationships to disclose. So in terms of the outline of today's talk, I'll just talk about some background information regarding prostate cancer, transition into the methodology for our study, then discuss the results that we found and the implication of these results. So in terms of background, one in six U.S. men will suffer from prostate cancer at some point in their lifetime. And in terms of incident rates for male cancer in the U.S., prostate cancer makes up 29% of cancer. It's followed by lung and colon rounds up the top three. For mortality rates, prostate cancer drops to number two in terms of cancer in the U.S. Lung and bronchus is number one, and colon is number three. But prostate cancer being number two in 11% of cancer mortalities in this country is still a significant percentage. This is just a graph of the U.S. prostate cancer incidence and mortality rates from 1975 to 2002, and what you can see is black men are in black and white men are in pink, and the top two lines are the incidence rates and the bottom two lines are the mortality rates. And the bump you see in the early 90s is when the PSA screening test came into play. But what you can notice about this graph is that black men lead in both incidence and mortality rates, and at a disproportionate rate. So the question is, why? Why are black men dying at a disproportionate rate compared to white men in terms of prostate cancer? And there's been multiple suggestions in the literature. The first one is that there's a possible later stage of diagnosis, and this could be due to lack of screening exams, yearly physicals, or follow-up regarding an abnormal PSA or digital rectal exam. There's also several social factors that have been suggested, the first one being continued mistrust towards the medical field, and the literature frequently cites the Tuskegee syphilis studies in the 1970s, as well as a lack of access to healthcare in both the urban and the rural environments, as well as one study suggesting a different treatment towards black patients. The study found that even when they matched for education, socioeconomic status, and the stage of diagnosis, treatment plans appeared to differ based on the race of the patient, and the final outcomes were different. As well as the final suggestion being genetic mutations, and they've sequenced specific strains among the black men, suggesting a possibly more aggressive form of the disease. When we're looking at the geography of prostate cancer mortality across the U.S., several studies have focused on counties or smaller regions within one state. And specifically, Georgia and South Carolina have both had public health initiatives to look at the county-level analyses to determine ranges among their states and where they need to focus their resources. Another difference across the U.S. are the different PSA screening practices that can change incidence and mortality rates. So just for example, we have three different states here showing the different insurance coverage policies. And so in North Dakota, if you have a company with less than 50 employees, it exempts insurers from having to provide coverage of the PSA screening exam. Whereas in Minnesota, anyone who's symptomatic or high risk and greater than the age of 40 is forced to be covered. Whereas on the other end of the spectrum, you have a state like Utah that encourages coverage but does not mandate any coverage whatsoever for the PSA test. So in terms of our research, we really focused on two questions. How do disparities in prostate cancer mortality rates vary across the 50 biggest cities in the U.S., and how have these disparities changed in the past two decades? So for our methodology, we used the 50 largest cities as determined by the 2005 U.S. Census data, and we used this population-based denominators from the census. And what we did was we calculated the age-adjusted mortality rates and racial rate ratios for blacks and whites across a 20-year time span from 1990 to 2009 in five-year increments. When we went to analyze the data, we looked at two time points in particular. We looked at 1990 to 1994, the first time point, and then the final time point from 2005 to 2009. We had a total of 41 cities in our analyses. We left out 9 cities due to no population data available or a small number of black deaths leading to unreliable results. In terms of our outcomes, we wanted to look at the disparity between blacks and whites. And so we took the ratio of black and white mortality, the proportion of black and white mortality rates. And what we found is that to do a rate ratio, a number greater than 1 is going to be more black men dying, a number less than 1 is going to be more white men proportionally dying, and a number equal to 1 is going to be proportionally black and white men equally dying. And then we went on to determine the percent decline in mortality rates over the 20-year time span. We looked at excess deaths, which I'll discuss in further detail later. And then we concluded with looking at the relationships with ecological variables such as socioeconomic status and education. In terms of our results, you can see on a city-level analysis that we had a decrease in mortality rates for both black and white men. On the left, you have the first time point, and on the right, you have the final time point. And in dark blue, you have black, and in light blue, you have the white mortality rates. And what you can see is per 100,000 people, the black mortality rate dropped from 77.2 to 52.4. And for the whites, the mortality rate dropped from 35.7 to 22 per 100,000 people. But the drop in white mortality rate was greater than the drop in black rate. For rate ratios and mortality rates, we just wanted to look at a couple different cities. And so on the vertical axis, we have rate ratio, and on the horizontal, we have time. And the light blue is just the national rate. And what you can see is that there's just a modest decline over the two time periods from 2.38 rate ratio to 2.16. But what we had was a large variability among the cities. So for instance, a city like Memphis had a rate ratio of 2.84 in the early 90s and, 1.91 in the early 90s, and then almost doubled to 3.18 at the final time period. Whereas Minneapolis had almost the exact opposite, where it started with 2.84 and then dropped significantly to 1.13, which is even not statistically significant difference. So why is the disparity growing? What we see is that we have rates declining for both races, but the improvement gaps favored whites. So I apologize that this graph is a little bit busy, but what we have is the percent change in black and white prostate cancer mortality rates between the first and the final time point. Now you can see the one dot on the right is Miami, and that's an obvious outlier, but what we have is the dotted line down kind of the center to right center, it would be 0% change. And what you see is that if you exclude Miami, they all decreased, except that white rates decreased more. So the white dots are white mortality, and the black dots are the percent change in black mortality. And the larger the line between them, the greater discrepancy over time. So on top, we have Oklahoma City, and you can see that the percent change in white mortality dropped significantly, whereas the black mortality percent actually slightly increased. And you can see that it goes all the way down to about 2/3, all the way down to Denver, Colorado, where the percent change favored white mortality as opposed to black. And then it flips, and you can see the bottom third is where the black mortality decreased proportionally greater. And you can see at the bottom, it's Minneapolis, Minnesota, with the greatest percent decrease in mortality rates for blacks compared to whites. We went on to determine the excess deaths, and to do that, we took the black population and multiplied it by the white prostate cancer mortality rate to determine the expected number of black deaths. And what we did was we took the observed number of black deaths from our data set, subtracted the calculated number of black deaths to find our excess black deaths. And what we found in the data is that there's almost 3,000 excess black deaths annually, which equates to almost 8 black men dying from the disease for every 1 white male per day. These are the five cities with the largest annual excess deaths. New York is leading the way with 172, followed by right here at home in Chicago with 109. Rounding out the top five are Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and Detroit. We finally looked at ecological variables ranging from median household income, percent living below the poverty line. We looked at index of isolation, as well as the Gini index, and as well as high school diplomas. And what we found, if you look at this graph, we bolded the statistically significant data, and what we found was that most of it was not significant. Percent population black was found to be statistically significant, as well as black index of isolation. And then percent white living below poverty line was nearing significance at 0.08. So what are the implications for this study? The whole point of this study was that city-level analysis is accessible for public health officials and policymakers to address. It's a small enough population to make a difference and to be able to see the change in the community locally. You can also be able to see cities like Memphis that have increasing rate ratios over time and compare them to cities like Minneapolis that have significantly decreased rate ratios. This is an example. We wanted to give some examples of city-level analyses that led to public health interventions. In particular, the Metropolitan Chicago Breast Cancer Task Force was this project that was done by Sinai Urban Health Institute that identified that black women were dying from breast cancer at a disproportionate rate compared to white women. Not much different than the data that we're seeing here today. So what they did was they initiated a team that set up mammograms for underprivileged women, including determining where more mammography centers were needed and provided the resources in order to attack these problems. So in terms of future research and the research implications from today's presentation, we need more research needed on causes of city-level disparities. What's going on in a city like Memphis as opposed to Minneapolis? What did Minneapolis do to drop their rate ratios so significantly? And we also need more local data. In a city as large as New York or Chicago, you have micro communities, and you're going to have significantly different picture in a community such as North Lawndale that surrounds Sinai Urban Health Institute when you compare that to a community farther north with more resources. And then finally, there will be questionable changes as the PSA screening guidelines change. As you could see from the first graph, when the spike in PSA screenings came out, it really didn't change the mortality rate. So we don't think it will change, but we can't say for sure. So in conclusion, blacks are more likely to die from prostate cancer in most cities in the United States. The disparity appears to be increasing over most cities over the past 20 years. We did city-level research to promote city-level interventions, and in the future we need to compare cities with high and low disparities so that we can lead to more effective and targeted interventions.
We have about 5 minutes for questions, so if you have questions for Sarah, please let us know.
I mean, that's a great question. One study showed that even when they saw abnormal PSA studies, they still had a really hard time getting the follow-up, getting them to come back. And so you'd have to be able to do some sort of church or community center that you can find them even once you have the abnormal PSA screenings. Yes? Perfect. Thank you.
of the questions for Sarah.
Based on our ecological variables, we only found a statistically significant difference for really kind of black isolation, isolation of index and percent black. Yes?
Can you speak to that? What do you think is happening with the isolation of index and percent black?
That's a great question. we don't really know. Maureen, do you have any? Sure.
Index is that those sort of things give you an idea, and particularly with this is at the city level, so we're talking about city level black isolation index. It's so these are sort of ecological variables, and so when she mentioned that you do need more local data in order to be able to actually tease out what are those differences, what are the income categories that might be at more risk. The other thing as far as the screening and getting them into follow-up care is there's been a lot of work in breast cancer on patient navigators, breast cancer navigators. It hasn't, from my understanding, been as studied in prostate cancer. So there's an opportunity to actually start looking at patient navigation to get them from the screening into the, you know, into the continuum of care. To make sure that if they have the screening, a positive screening, that they go on to test to see if they actually have, you know, prostate cancer. And then if they do have a tumor, if they do have prostate cancer, then getting them into the types of treatment that would be best for them. Unfortunately, that's not something that is happening as much as it is with breast cancer. So there has to be a lot of, there has to be some campaigns around that, particularly at the national level. Similar to Susan D. Komen, there has to be something similar for prostate cancer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.